Across America, local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, providing free airtime.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your donations.
America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Clouds more dominant than clear sky into this evening and tonight as we hold a low of the mid-50s. As we get out of that, not much warmer with a 1 in 2 chance of showers and thunderstorms arriving ahead of an area of upper-level low pressure. Pretty strong trough as well. Should put us to 61 on Thursday afternoon. As we look at Friday, the system moves east. Cloudy with occasional showers will linger, though, with a 59 and then more sunshine Saturday.
WWNR Bentley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On to Bob and Kim. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob and Kim.
Good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On for a Wednesday night, the prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is your nightly confrontation with the facts. And you know, it wasn't too long back, and I've said it on a number of occasions, that Republicans have never had an original idea. Of course, I don't just say things. If I say it, I can back it up, and you can go to the bank on it. And, you know, since we're using the word original, what do you know what the origins of the Republican Party are? Well, sure, Bob. The Republican Party was born when good, decent, honorable, upstanding, godly Americans realized that slavery was wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Wrong. Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. If you really want to know about the birth of the Republicans, you have to study up on a fun little group called the Know-Nothings. Were you awake for American history that day? Did they bother to teach that to you? They got that name, the Know-Nothings, because when decent people tried to find out who their leaders were, they tended to get in touch with their inner Sergeant Schultz and said, "I know nothing." Now, you're probably asking yourself why they wouldn't point proudly to their glorious leadership and say, "Why, he is that feller over there. That's our leader, our dear leader." Well, they couldn't. Yeah, but why, Bob? You might or might not ask, depending on whether or not you were really interested in learning the dirty history of the Republican Party. Well, here's why. The Know-Nothings were a shorthand term that other people gave them for some secret, nasty little groups like the Order of the Star-Spangled Banner. Look at that. Even in 1850, they were wrapping themselves in the flag to do their dirty business. And another group called themselves the Native American Party. And no, it had nothing to do with Native Americans. Now, these folks thought of themselves as being Native Americans because they was born here. And they was born here, but a whole lot of people back then weren't. This was one of the immigration floods. You know, these people were a lot like Michael the Savage Wiener. It's about the borders and the language and the culture. But at any rate, a lot of people that were coming to America certainly hadn't been born here. And the east coast of America was just chock full of Irish people and German people and Polish people and Czechoslovakian, Bohemian people and Hungarian people, or the people that the Know-Nothings tended to refer to as Micks and Krauts and Polacks and Bohos and Hunkies, all fresh off in the boat. And every last one of them, according to the Know-Nothings, every last one of them a no-good, wait for it, it's coming, it's not far off, wait for it. The decent people, the people who aren't Republicans, already know the answer. Every last one of these immigrants was Catholic. And they were welcomed into the Democratic Party in the United States because they were seeking the American dream and they were just ordinary people. But the Know-Nothings, oh, they just hated Catholics.
The Know-Nothings hated Catholics so much they were willing to kill them. And they did, as often as they could. And they bombed their churches. Terrorists. And those signs, the ones that said, no Irish need apply? Yeah, that was your Know-Nothings. So the mid-1850s roll around, and what happens? The Know-Nothings take their hate and merge it into what became known as the Republican Party. Yay, I'm going to be a Republican, yay! People who bombed churches founded the Republican Party. Charming, isn't it? A century or so later, people who bombed churches became Republicans when Democrats abandoned the ancient legacy of Southern racist hate. Now, in 2005, people who bomb babies are Republicans. So, like I said, it all, you know, what goes around comes around. And a few years ago, about 1987, I think it was, Pope John Paul II came to South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. An easy drive from Bob Jones University. When somebody asked Bob Jones III, how would you pronounce that if you lived in, like, Brooklyn? Bob Jones the leader, Bob Jones III, the leader of that weird little cult with millions and millions of dollars, somebody asked Bob Jones III if, in a spirit of peace, he might meet with the Pope. And his answer? I'd rather meet with the devil himself. And of course, you know, hating Catholics is real know-nothing stuff, and how typical that know-nothing policy would be espoused at somewhere like Bob Jones University. Let's see, what did Bob Jones Jr., Bob Jones III's daddy, what did he say one time? He said, quote, all the popes are demon-possessed. And let's see. He also said, the papacy is the religion of Antichrist and is a satanic system. Okay, so that's who we're dealing with. Yeah, that's your Christian Republicans. So now, George W. Killababy is off in Rome, on his knees, kneeling in the Vatican. The man who gave a speech at that very same Bob Jones University in 2000, a school that discriminates against black people, Jewish people, Catholic people, and normal people. Well, you got to give the church this much. They're working hard on that forgiveness thing. If they can invite the leader of a party that bombed Catholic churches to their leader's funeral, they're at least taking that line about bless those who curse you pretty seriously, I'd say. They're turning their cheek hard enough to make their neck snap. Well, so here's at least one good line to describe the Republicans. Starting with the Know-Nothings bombing Catholic churches, Bob Jones calling the church Antichrist and satanic. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. Well, here's another way of looking at it. They've killed before. They'll kill again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. You just go on, keep saying and again for me, if you don't mind, till you get to a little over 100,000 or so, all right? And, well, listen to Tom DeLay's words from a few days ago. The time will come when judges will answer for their behavior. Or listen to Texas Senator John Cornyn's words. He says, and these are his words, not mine, there may be some connection between the perception in some quarters on some occasions where judges are making political decisions yet are unaccountable to the public, that it builds up and builds up and builds up to the point where some people engage in violence. He said that on the Senate floor 2 days ago, the fourth day of April, 2005. John Cornyn, filthying up the ancient and honorable reputation of the Senate, John Cornyn says it's understandable when people get frustrated and kill judges. Is that understandable to you? Will you excuse murder like that good, godly, upstanding, mainstream Republican Senator John Cornyn did? And he refers to judges making political decisions. Okay. Well, there was no political decision made by the judge who was slain by that fella in Atlanta. There was no political decision made by Judge Greer in Florida. There was no political decision made by District Judge Joan Lefko in Chicago. They were legal decisions based upon the pleadings and the merits of the case. But John Cornyn says it's all right for good, godly, upstanding, right-wing Republican Americans to go knock them off a judge over them political decisions. Now, you gotta take John Cornyn's hateful words and swirl them around in the glass a little to really get the full, nauseating bouquet of it. See, you got to remember that one of those judges who was attacked was Joan Lefko. Remember? Her husband and mother were slaughtered. Were they slaughtered because of a political decision? No, no. The killer in that case was a nut job who was mad because Mrs. Lefko dismissed his medical malpractice lawsuit. Pay attention, his medical malpractice lawsuit. I know, your eyes are beginning to roll back in your head. So, what we're faced here is John Cornyn. And John Cornyn is one of those rabidly anti-medical malpractice repiglians. He's someone who shares Boy George's belief that people who get butchered by doctors have, what was the phrase? Won life's lottery. You know, you get the wrong kidney taken out, the wrong leg lopped off. George Bush thinks you've won life's lottery. And John Cornyn believes that medical malpractice plaintiffs are justified in slaughtering judges or their mama or their husband. Then again, John Cornyn thinks that most plaintiffs' medical malpractice suits should be dismissed. But he thinks medical malpractice plaintiffs should kill the judges that... Oh, my God. Ergo, more judges need to die. Man. Don't some of Bush's donor pharmaceutical companies have medicine that can cure that kind of evil, crazy, vicious, psychotic, sociopathic thinking? You remember way back before the election when one out of thousands of entries in a contest on the internet that wasn't even sanctioned by anyone, not on TV, mind you, just on the internet, you remember when one of those ads compared Bush to Hitler? And you remember the Republican outrage? Remember how shocked, I tell you, shocked the Republicans were? How pig-like they squealed and squalled and held their breath and stomped their cloven little hooves up and down and pounded on podiums across the fruited plain demanding that this outrageous conduct be disavowed by the Democratic Party? Yeah, sure you do. Well, now that Republicans are out there advocating the murder of judges, where are they? Where are they now when Tom Dirtbag DeLay and John Killer Cornyn are trying to whip up the mouth breathers to bump off a few people sitting on the bench just to keep them in line? Keeps them honest, you know, if you kill one every now and then. Yeah, is this kind of behavior what Tom DeLay's talking about when he says we need to return America to a biblical worldview? Where's the outrage? Hear the crickets? Maybe since they're Republican crickets, we should call them hypocrites. I guess understandable homicide's the new thing among the family values crowd. Have you seen the delightful little piece of Republican work from the hallowed halls of the Florida legislature where you can bump somebody off if you feel even a little bit threatened? Doesn't matter where you are, out on the street, in the grocery store. Hey, lady, you got 15 items and you're in the 10-item lane. That's a threat to me. Bam! And bust a cap in them. Yeah, I'm not kidding. And one of the primary proponents of that was this creep, Republican creep in Florida named Baxley. And he was down there hollering about the Kutcher of Life for Terry Schiavo. And he's arguing for people to be able to blast away and be immune for it in Florida. Got you covered, Mom. Got you covered, Dad. Got you covered, son. Got you covered, sis. Yeah. Here's the fun part. In the real world, when he's not at the legislature, this Baxley creep, he's a mortician.
Yeah. He's a mortician.
Back when he was talking about Terry Schiavo, he said, our culture's on a death march. But he's also the same guy who sponsored this NRA-backed gun bill that allows people to stand and blaze from their car, to stand and blaze on the sidewalks. I guess that little problem with Cinderella getting her butt pinched at Disney World's going to come to a quick halt because she'll turn around and dust you, baby. Yeah, what the hell? Bakers bake bread. Bricklayers lay bricks. Shoemakers make shoes. And Republicans kill. It's what they do. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
We're talking about a part of the world in which, our foreign policy was, let's just hope for the best and tolerate the fact there's no free societies. And what ended up happening was there was tyrants have emerged, tyrants that threatened our security. And so not only was the action worth it, the action is worth it to make sure that democracy exists. And because democracies will yield peace, and that's what we want.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
If you think carpet care is just about professional service with a low price, you're right. At Bruce's Carpet Care, we're all about professional service and low prices. That's all you need to worry about. Bruce's has 40 years combined experience and is the most reliable around. Bruce's offers free estimates and right now is offering four rooms and Scotchgard for just $99. Cheap, professional, that's all you need to know. Call 253-3419. 253-3419. Bruce's Carpet Care.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back.
How do you get your mind around these? They spend weeks bemoaning pulling a feeding tube out of Terry Schiavo, and then those same legislators in Florida spend about an hour debating a bill that will permit freewheeling gun violence anywhere in Florida.
Get off my beach towel.
Bam. Hey, you see that little old lady up there? She's driving awful slow. Bam. Here's the fun part. That other scion of the culture of life crowd, the culture of life. Hey, look at my new haircut, Andy. It's all slickety in the back. The Cutcher of Life crowd. Yep. Jimmy Bush on his knees in front of the NRA says, oh, you pass it, I'll sign it. Yeah. Culture of life. Culture of life. Can you get in line with this kind of thinking? Can you get? I mean, is there? What do we constantly hear us Democrats? Well, we need some. Yeah, they need to come to the table and bring their ideas. What? How are we supposed to come to the table when the table's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, for God's sakes? How do you come to the table with somebody who believes that full-scale packing heat, that pearl-handled revolvers on your side, shut up, bam! How do you come to the table with these people? These people who advocate this kind of stuff and say that that's the culture of life. How do you do that? I mean, my side would sit down at the table and we'd be very nice. And we'd say, well, you know, I think we need to find a solution to this problem. Bring me another round! I want some of them holler points with the nitroglycerin in the tips and the candle wax on the top that goes real big bang when they hit. Oh, my. What time's church? What do you do with these people? I mean, I got a story out of the stack from yesterday. One of the local things out of what's going on in the legislature, the courts could force medication or treatment on people who chronically fail to take it themselves under a proposed experimental program endorsed by the House Judiciary Committee. The measure targets people convicted of a crime or twice ordered to a hospital within the previous 2 years. Screw that! Target the Republicans! Get them on medication before they hurt somebody! Damn!
The bill addresses cases where that failure continues, but it's, and a psychiatrist or licensed psychologist has concluded it leaves the person likely to cause future harm.
Are you a Republican? You're likely to cause future harm! Kitty diddlers, baby killers! That's what we're dealing with here! And I'm staying out of Florida. I mean, we've got a law in this state that says you have a constitutional right under the state constitution to strap on heat and march down the middle of Main Street with it there for everybody to see. Okay. It does not, however, allow you to blow somebody away for getting you a little irritated. You see that man? He cut us off. Open up, Mabel! I got me a front-mounted AK-47 that I can operate with a string pull from the steering wheel. Lord. And Jeb's going to sign this bill. Stay out of Florida if you know what's good for you. Did you hear how those people talk? They sound like they're not from around here. Blow them away! Nope. I'll stick with my good old redneck Riviera. I won't be crossing the state line into Florida either. You can bet on it. Ugh.
See what happens when you turn these killers loose from the know-nothings to the Florida legislature? Good God.
Kill them if you got them. Now, listen, let's take our bottom of the hour break. The phone number, by the way, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. President Bush had a good look yesterday at a filing cabinet in Parkersburg that he says shows how shaky the finances of Social Security are. The four-drawer cabinet at the Bureau of the Public Debt contains depictions of government bonds totaling $1.7 trillion.
But Bush, who visited Parkersburg yesterday to talk about Social Security, says they're not just underfunded IOUs. Nearby at WVU's Parkersburg campus, he said, imagine the retirement security for future generations is sitting in a filing cabinet. Bush wants a restructured Social Security system that would include private investment accounts, what he calls hard assets. But Democratic leaders in Congress have written to complain he's endangering Uncle Sam's credit by casting doubt on the bonds. Meanwhile, the Raleigh County Commission is making its position clear on Social Security. It unanimously passed a resolution yesterday that calls on Congress to reject plans to privatize the system. Commission President John Aliff says the president's plan jeopardizes Social Security's long-term solvency, which could hurt more than 400,000 West Virginians who rely on Social Security for their essential income. Aliff says the best they could do as commissioners to have a voice in the issue was to send their concerns to Congress via resolution. West Virginia wildlife officials would like to take some time to review a legislative effort to allow Sunday hunting. The Senate on Monday rejected an amendment by Fayette County Senator Shirley Love. Division of Natural Resources Director Frank Gisero says the agency needs more time to research how an extra day of hunting would impact wildlife management areas. In 2002, voters in three dozen counties rejected Sunday hunting, on private land. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy and warm, around 70. Then tonight, a chance of showers late in the night, increasing cloudiness, low 53. Thursday, showers, cooler. Thunderstorms possible by afternoon, high near 65. Showers, possible thunderstorms and cooler on Thursday night with a low near 46. And then Friday, mostly cloudy with showers until around 4 in the afternoon, cooler with a high only near 56. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Sometime during the next 2 days, the House of Representatives will be considering new bankruptcy laws. The bill, which will make it more difficult for individuals to file for bankruptcy, has already passed the Senate with the support of 18 Democrats. David Swanson is a board member for Progressive Democrats of America. He says the bill guarantees one thing.
People will become sort of perpetual debt slaves to credit card companies.
Amendments to the bill that would have protected the more than 50% of people who file for bankruptcy due to serious medical costs were rejected in the Senate. Exemptions to the law proposed to protect military families coping with a family member serving overseas were voted down. Swanson says the bill will make it even more difficult for working families in dire straits to cope.
Ordinary people will have a much, much harder time keeping their homes, keeping their cars, getting their child support money.
20 House Democrats have pledged their support for the bill. Swanson says that his organization, as well as the AFL-CIO and other labor groups, plan to rally in front of the offices of those Democrats today. If the bill passes, it will then move on to President George W. Bush, who is expected to sign it into law.
Black and Latino community leaders from Inglewood, California, visited a Walmart media convening that drew reporters from around the country in Arkansas on Tuesday. They were there to call for a contract with Walmart to guarantee living wage jobs in every community in which it has a store. Daniel Tabor is a former Inglewood city councilman.
We think the number one retailer in the world, which is Walmart, should be a good corporate citizen. And good corporate citizenship means that they understand their impact in the communities in which they do business. We think that a community benefit agreement is the best way to ensure that any negative impacts that would be created by the operation of a Walmart, whether it be a regular store or a supercenter, could be mitigated with a full understanding and a binding agreement between Walmart and that community.
The Inglewood leaders say many private developers have signed these community benefits agreements guaranteeing living wage jobs, affordable family health care, green space, and more. Tabor says Walmart should sign onto this pledge and it must change how it interacts with host communities.
Walmart's business practices need to change. They need to see themselves more as partners in communities and less as occupiers of communities, and in that they need to be considerate of the needs of other people, of the residents, of their employees, and of other businesses in their area.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Is there a rising trend of weight discrimination in the workplace? As Americans struggle with an epidemic of obesity, a new report from the journal Health Economics is reporting that on average, obese workers earn 2.5% less than their thinner fellow workers. It's even worse for obese women, where they take home as much as 6% less. weight discrimination against women also kicks in earlier, on average when they are 30 pounds overweight.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. I thought I'd share a little email with you. This came to me from Doug. Doug writes, I like your program. Thanks, Doug. I just heard you talking to a Republic killer about 9:20 Tuesday night, and I think some people need a mental laxative. You're too easy on the ignorant, Bob. I wish you'd drive the facts to their inner core, but some people can't see nothing. Nothing at all other than that what they've always been told, because the world is good and so are Republicans and Rush is so caring. Yeah, right. Okay. So I hope you can get through to them with the people aren't mad yet. Not mad enough to open their scared eyes. Not yet. I'm afraid the people won't take charge of our God-given right to be, just be, without corporate greed and Bush. I could talk forever, but just hope you'll mention biodiesel every show. See, there we did it. Biodiesel. Indoor plumbing, it's going to be big. Every show, and drive it home like only you can. And maybe run for office or something. We need a mental laxative. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. And, you know, don't hold back, man. Tell us how you really feel. There's a lot of truth in what Doug writes. The part about people not seeing the truth until they have to. Who said it? Carl Jung, I think. Jung. Carl Gustav Jung. People can only tolerate so much reality. Maybe that's what Karl Rove's tapped into. He's not giving people the truth or facts or reality. He's giving them a perceived vision of the way they would like things to be, whether they're that way or not. For instance, you know, George Bush being part of the culture of life when he's killed 100,000 children and women in Iraq. Or George Bush having reverence for John Paul II, when in fact his base consists of people who think that Catholics are idol worshippers and Mary worshippers and the whore of Babylon and the way they talk, who think that the Pope is the Antichrist, you know, Bob Jones talk, those kind of people. In other words, it's some sort of a through the looking glass world that has absolutely nothing to do with the hateful reality of what a Republican really is. See? Yeah. Okay, to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I don't know. This daylight saving time is just killing me.
Tough to get used to after the first couple of days.
Oh, I don't know. You know, when I hear these people talk, and I'm talking about Bush delay and stuff like this, I just, something in my mind starts making me hear these sounds.
Sound effects, cool.
Well, we've got the whole nine yards here. I've got a regular studio here, but I'll tell you, when they can sit there and say, for example, and threaten judges and talk about they're acting on behalf of the American people,
right,
when 83% of the American people were against what they did, upon whose behalf are they acting?
Well, it's that 17% mouth-breathing base. I mean, they're very serious about that, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you what they can do. That 17% mouth-breathing base, mouth-breathing whoever or whatever you want to call them,
yeah,
they can say to Delay and all his crowd, our station's leaving in 5 minutes. Please be on them. And they can head for, I don't care, Timbuktu. Never come back.
Yeah, but see, we got to be careful the things we say, Jim, because, you know, Republicans can say all kinds of nasty, filthy, hateful, murderous stuff, and they get a pass. You know, if I was to make some sort of inappropriate, well, you remember that guy a few years ago sitting in a bar told a joke about a burning bush?
No.
Yeah, he was telling a Moses joke about a burning bush, and it had a political overtone. That dude's in prison now.
For what?
For threatening the president.
Oh, my God. I saw a theater in D.C. that had on one marquee, my burning bush, and on the other, White Hustler. See, it was somebody you paid for. I'm not kidding.
Well, I'm not either. That guy told the story in a bar, and he is in prison.
Well, thinking he was alluding to he was going to burn up.
Watch it. Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess if I were around him, the only thing I could have said today in St. Peter's today was to tell Laura about her mantilla. Ooh, I just love the way this thing drapes around you. I mean, you know, has it come down to that?
He was sitting there holding hands with her in the Vatican.
I know, I saw it. And Condoleezza.
Did they say kind of sleazy with him?
Yeah, she was on the extreme right. I thought you might appreciate that.
You're wicked, you know that?
Well, it's part of my French ancestry, Bob.
All right.
But, I mean, yeah, she was sitting there, and then there was Bill Clinton, and then there was, Bush the Elder, or whatever you want to call him, and then Bush the Stupid, and then Laura the Pickle, and they were sitting there holding hands, and, you know. And why Jimmy Carter wasn't there, I don't know.
And I wondered, man, maybe he's not feeling so good.
Well, very, 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 very possible.
Or maybe he's busy off, like, building houses for poor people and making a difference in the world like he does.
Yeah, with Habitat.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, you know, they got as much political mileage out of that as possible. Because, if I tell you, Bob, the thing about it is the Catholics have been so hornswoggled by these people, they helped put Bush in office. Let's just face it.
Well, and, you know, you being a proud son of South Carolina, Jim, how far is it from Columbia to Bob Jones University? Do you know offhand?
Oh, it's in Greenville. It's about, I'd say about 100 clicks, a little more than that. It's about 80 miles.
And Bob Jones said he would rather meet with the devil himself than meet John Paul II.
Well, you know, Bob Jones, you know, they used to have guards at the front gates of that place that had automatic submachine guns.
At a Jesus University?
Yeah.
Did they have little crosses painted on the clips?
All
or?
Kinds of stuff like that.
Maybe they used the machine guns on people who... like interracially held hands or something, because I understand that.
Oh, no, that was strictly verboten. I'm talking about non-mixed couples.
Oh, man.
But if you want to find one of the finest collections of religious art in this part of the country, go there. It's there.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm talking about stuff from the Renaissance. We're talking about Titian, Tintoretto. We're talking about lots of Italian masters, Flemish masters, and, you know, somehow the old boys managed to accumulate some of that.
Well, they may not have much of a taste for dogma or Christian theology, but they know a bargain when they see one.
I guess they do, but I'll tell you something. These people are just absolutely... Tom DeLay, when he made that statement today, threatening these judges are going to be accountable. And then, of course, they had that idiot, that other friend of his. What did he say?
John Cornyn, that's right.
Cornyn, thank you. Gee, I'm sorry.
That's right.
But anyway, and he was extolling the virtues of being able to carry your own pearl-handled revolver on your hip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he probably would carry pearl handles, because only a pimp from a New Orleans cat house would be carrying something like that.
When I mentioned that, I was thinking about that very line, Jim.
Were you?
Yeah.
You know, Bob, our minds flow into similar channels lots of times. You don't know that, do you? But I mean, I'm trying to influence you psychically.
I got a one-track mind that runs in the gutter, Jim.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't at all. I think your mind's perfectly fine and sound. And I think what you say makes a lot of sense. And you say things that people are thinking, but are in many cases they're just afraid to say. And that's the reason that you have friends who call your program Radio Free Beckley and other good souls like that who do have the intestinal fortitude to say exactly, you know, to say the emperor is naked and the emperor has no clothes.
The emperor's naked and he's running around, dancing around the bonfire for God's sake.
Bob, he ain't naked. He's just buck naked.
Yeah, he's naked. That's N-E-K-K-I-D.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
The southern state of having no clothes on and being up to something.
But I mean, when I heard Bush trying to make a point, have you ever noticed how his logic just falters and how his words just fail him?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing driving them. I mean, it's just like you know. It makes more sense to me. I mean, if I were in a room with George Bush and my cat, I could have a better conversation with the shady lady than I could him.
Well, yeah, you get that knowing look from the cat from time to time, Jim.
Well, I know she's coming from the heart, and I know what part of the anatomy he's coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody's got one, and they all stink. And his is worse than everybody else, and I'm tired of sniffing it. Or having it blown all over me every time I cut on my television or radio or whatever. I mean, America, wake up.
Indeed, Jim. Indeed.
Wake up. I mean, good God. I mean, we are a debtor nation. We are just billions and trillions of dollars, the 12 zeros into debt. And we're getting to the point where we are so dependent on foreign oil that, you know, our whole system of life is just going to come crashing down around our ears. And it's like it was surfaced this afternoon on the Dr. Bill show. You know, extraordinary measures are going to have to be taken. I mean, gasoline, the way people live, the way they think, they're going to have to, somebody's going to have to pull the morphine drip out sometime.
Yeah, or, well, you know, I've said for a long time that we are behaving, you know, since about 2000, we've been behaving, Jim, like somebody in the real depths of a hardcore addiction.
Well, and then you have it forced down, like Detroit. Now they're trying to, they can't give these big gas guzzlers away now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And all the incentives that they are, you know, giving to people. Because these things are going to be absolutely obsolete as hell because nobody except the very rich are going to be able to afford to drive them.
Well, Jim, you're old enough. Do you remember when the first oil crisis hit in 73?
I do.
And there probably wasn't a car, an American-made car on the road that got more than 15 or 16 miles a gallon.
Now, look, friend, I used to see guns at these stations.
Why not?
I mean, people would really, I mean, honestly and truly, if they thought that you were trying to jump a line or something like that, I mean, you could see a bulge under their armpit.
But what I'm trying to get at, Jim, is when that first OPEC 1973 oil crisis hit, you know, that was the beginning of a sharp downturn for the American auto industry. Because
well, that was our wake-up call, except we never woke up, Bob.
Yeah, we slapped the snooze button and cranked out some Pintos in Vegas.
And that was the end of it. And then I wondered, when they started turning out all these utility vehicles and all these Hummers, making the Hummer the absolute creme de la creme of all the vehicles, nothing but a glorified Humvee, you know. That.
Right.
And guess what? 8 to 10 miles a gallon?
Right.
And when they started making that the ultimate status symbol, and I thought to myself, well, where's all this gas coming from? Because it's a finite resource.
Oh, it's coming from Willy Wonka's gasoline factory because it's infinite.
Oh, well, listen, somebody's not thinking right. And I tell you, when these gas companies, I mean, now Unocal was bought out by, who bought Unocal?
Oh, John, I can't remember.
In other words, all these corporate.
Chevron,
thank you. Well, I mean, you know, when that happened, that ought to tell you something. These people aren't interested in trying to promote any type of reasonable energy program or whatever.
No, and the more that we concentrate the ownership, then the less competition, and the more prone we are to have to sort of take it because they're not going to compete on prices.
You know, Bob, I'm going to tell you something. People simply will not voluntarily do what is good for them. Corporations will certainly not do what is good for people. Therefore, you're going to have somebody, and it's going to have to be government, who's going to have to go ahead and make them do this and make them do that. If it weren't for government in the 60s, where do you think the civil rights movement would be?
We would have had civil war by now, Jim.
Well, or that, or an uprising of the blacks against the whites. I mean, where do you think it would be if it weren't for troops being sent down to the South to make these people obey the law and do what was right? And that is the history of our country. We have always been made to do what's right.
Jim, look back a little bit further. Look at the rationing during the Second World War.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what's going to happen again soon. It's going to have to be. You know, we talked about this before.
And once again, just like in 1973, there's not that much difference. The American auto industry does Chevy or Ford or Chrysler even, do any of them have a hybrid gas-electric vehicle like the Toyota and the Honda?
Not to my knowledge.
Do any of them have a vehicle that can run on biodiesel like Volkswagen?
Not to my knowledge.
Nor to mine either. And they sit there and they wonder why they continually lose market share.
Well, you know, I tell you, Bob, we've had this loving romance with the automobile and all these gas guzzlers. And, you know, all of a sudden, when it leaves, well, these people are going to be sitting around at midnight burning black candles, reading gothic romances, while these corporate people are sitting up to their ears in mink.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Open another tin of Beluga.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Red or black. But I'll tell you, the government is going to have to step in, and they're going to have to ration gasoline, and they're going to have to make people do what they don't want to do.
Or maybe just regular. I mean, could it get so desperate, Jim, that we actually finally, as the people, the sovereigns of this country, rein in the oil companies and regulate them the way the rest of the civilized world does?
Bob, the only mechanism that will do that will be the government.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it. It's going to have to, and I would say this, agree to disagree. But the first thing I would do, if these petroleum companies wouldn't come into line, and if these automobile companies wouldn't come into line, I'd nationalize them. I would expropriate their resources, put their leaders in jail, put in responsible people who can initiate a type of vehicle that can burn a responsible type of fuel, and if they don't like it, we can line them up against a wall.
You're a cold man, Jim. But part of that I'm on board with, as far as like nationalizing the oil industry, if they won't behave, if they won't quit their antitrust behavior. I mean,
Roosevelt was the one who broke up Standard Oil.
Sure.
I mean, this is not new stuff.
No.
And, you know, I hate to say it, it's like Stalin said to Churchill, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Well, I hate to rely on Stalin for my policy, but...
let's face it, you have to be pragmatic.
Right, and...
A little bit of that source. I mean, and people call me a communist and a socialist, and I'm proud to bear the title.
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, Jim, nationalizing an industry doesn't necessarily make you one of those. The idea of for-profit health care is obscene. The idea of for-profit health care is obscene. And in a country that is addicted to fossil fuels, the idea that we would tie people's day-to-day living with to some oligarch's ability to open another can of Ocetra caviar, that's anti-American, Jim.
Well, it's the type of thing that's going to destroy America, and it's the type of attitude like that on the parts of the upper classes and the ones who are on top, the oligarchs, that are going to foment a revolution that's going to sweep it all away. And I've been preaching that doctrine for a long, long time, Bob, and you know it.
Sure.
And when it comes, it's going to come.
Big darkness.
And like I say, I wouldn't mind being Madame LaFarge. I could sit there and knit, too. You know?
Yeah, I do.
I sure could.
Sure enough. I would like to see responsible corporate behavior in this country. It can happen.
Well, I would, too, but historically, you know, it's not going to.
But, you know... When you start seeing more and more of these Hondas and Toyotas and these diesel Volkswagens on the road, Is it a case of just systemic hysterical blindness on the part of Detroit that we need to make a bigger SUV? That's what we need to do. Will they come around?
They are depending on some type. They think that this is just a bad little nightmare from which they were well awake. But this is not the case because you've got so many other industrialized burgeoning nations that are clamoring for the same resources like China and places like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to come out. In other words, this energy crisis is not going to go away the first one did, okay?
Well, the first one was artificial.
Exactly.
That was OPEC turning off the spigot.
Precisely.
And they were nowhere near their peak oil production.
Precisely.
Now they are. The Saudis are passing peak oil even as we speak. And no matter how much we beg them to crank up production, they can't.
Well, even if they could, do we have the means to refine it?
No, that's the Democrats' fault, though, if you were listening last night. You got to remember, it's Democrats' fault that there aren't enough refineries.
Well, who said that?
Oh, God, I forget which one, but some Republican.
What are your call-ins?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this right now. They better do something before it's too late, and they better tell the people who are responsible for these places while they still are in charge of them before, you know, they find themselves landing up in jail with their companies and their resources expropriated and taken away. Well, so that's going to be the next step, a national emergency. I mean, our national oil reserve is 8% higher than it was last year, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they keep that for. I'm not sure exactly what its purpose is. Never have really figured
It's for when the real crisis hits.
Okay. Well, I guess the real crisis hadn't hit yet.
They've decided it hasn't.
Well, I hate to tell them that, you know, this is not a nightmare. This is reality, and they better damn well wake up, because if they don't, they're going to have some huge changes going on. When those changes occur, they're not going to be comfortable.
No, they're going to be painful.
Very painful.
Change often is, and the birth of a new era, birth is painful too.
There you go.
All right, Jim, we got to take our break. Thanks so much, man. Enjoy the conversation.
Roll in the neck.
All right, later. Okay, top of the hour news from ABC. Your calls at 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We're on the Internet for you, of course. We stream live for you every night at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And you can send emails, too. Bob@HeadOnRadio.com is your best bet there. We will be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has kept millions of young people off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. It's a membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You can help. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
To learn more, call 1-800-854-CLUB.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it, because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
WWNR Beckley.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
Commitment on
News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Across America, local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, providing free airtime.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your donations.
America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Clouds more dominant than clear sky into this evening and tonight as we hold a low in the mid-50s. As we get out of that, not much warmer with a 1 in 2 chance of showers and thunderstorms arriving ahead of an area of upper-level low pressure. Pretty strong trough as well. Should put us to 61 on Thursday afternoon. As we look at Friday, the system moves east. Cloudy with occasional showers will linger, though, with a 59 and then more sunshine Saturday.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your prayer meeting edition, Wednesday night. The stories are beginning to come out about George W.'s and former President Clinton's and Poppy Bush's trip to the Vatican today to attend or what is it? A lying in state. That's what it is. Of John Paul II. Great quote here, as outlined for me by the inimitable John Kepi. This is George H.W. Bush. This is Poppy Bush, not Dim Sun. And he was talking, he said he talked to John Paul after the Gulf War, but never about the war itself. And he said that he has that standard position on use of force. I wish I'd asked about the concept for a just war. Bing, 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 bing. We have a confession. We have a confession. I wish I'd asked about the concept for a just war. How do you feel? Is there such a thing as a just war? Because clearly I thought that was. He probably would have said no, not in this case. Well, in point of fact, it's not probably. And it goes to show you how much attention Poppy was paying during his administration, because when he was getting ready for the first slaughter of Iraq, John Paul came out and said, fellas, this is wrong. This is a wrong war. Other means can be had besides this. John Paul said that. And Poppy is just now wondering if he would have said no, that it wasn't a just war. Nobody bothered to tell him. Talk about your arrogance. Then talking about Clinton. Clinton, a master politician himself, marveled at the Pope's political skills when John Paul visited Newark, New Jersey, drawing a crowd by riding to the cathedral in his Pope-mobile. And Clinton said, then he came into the back of the cathedral and shook hands all the way down the aisles and had nuns standing on the pews screaming. Clinton said he told a local Catholic leader he would hate to run against the Pope for mayor, and the official told him, oh, you have no idea how good a politician he is. Those nuns are Carmelites. A lot of them haven't been outside in 20 years. No wonder they're screaming. The man knows how to build a crowd, Clinton said. But the fact is, John Paul was very, very clear. He opposed Iraq Slaughter 1, and he opposed Iraq Slaughter 2. He did, however, support Clinton's intervention in Bosnia. Tells you a little bit, doesn't it? That those two people understood the idea of, the doctrine is called just war. Now, this evening, and it's probably already happened by now, Dim Sun was supposed to be having a meeting with Italian President Carlo Azeglio Ciampi. That's tomorrow. Okay, so in a few hours. And he was going to stop by and say howdy do to the American cardinals, hoping that none of them could quite remember how he spat on them by giving a speech at Bob Jones University. And then he was going to have dinner tomorrow. He is going to have dinner tomorrow. Subject-verb agreement. Some grammar teacher of mine is spinning in her grave. He's going to have dinner tomorrow with
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. And I wonder, with the nature of this sort of an occasion, will Silvio just be polite and diplomatic and cordial and a genial host? Or at some point during this conversation, will he pull dim sum and kind of sleazy aside and say, I want to get a look at the car you shot up? You know, the one that your boys poured all of those bullets into on a secure roadway where there was no checkpoint. I'd kind of like to know why you've put out all these filthy lies about the murder of our Secret Service agent, our intelligence agent, who was rescuing one of our journalists. I want to see the car, George. Because, you see, Silvio Berlusconi is almost as big a fascist as W is. He's like he's the Rupert Murdoch of Italy. He's one of these media magnate types. But things are not well between the United States and Italy right now. The evidence, the fact that Italy is pulling their troops out. And I don't know if this is a completely unrelated note, but Tony Blair, George's pet poodle, announced yesterday that there will be parliamentary elections in May in the United Kingdom. That's kind of neat, isn't it? You make an announcement in April of elections in May. No chance for the Swift Boat veterans to really get out there and crank up, suck up the slimy money and run a 9-month filthy lie campaign. Just get out there. You've done your job. You want the job. Here. I stand for election. It's another neat little thing. In England, they stand for election. You know, this is the idiom. In the UK, they stand for election. In the United States, we run for election. What did I tell you? It says a lot about how we view the electorate, doesn't it? But at any rate, Tony Blair said there will be elections, parliamentary elections, I believe, in May. And he also said that England, or the United Kingdom, is beginning its pullout from Iraq. After that, it'll just be us and maybe a few Moroccan monkeys. And it's just the way the so-called extremists want it. How about that? Bush has been checkmated again. Is there anything this guy is not an idiot about? Is there anything that this administration can't screw up? I mean, I'm still waiting for what's going on in Rome because, what's the old line? He's such an idiot he could screw up a one-car funeral. God only knows what he'll do in Rome. Cross himself backwards or try to eat the cookie or read a telegram from Bob Jones III. He doesn't inspire confidence. And it is kind of odd that he took along kind of sleazy Rice, isn't it? And there she is in the photograph. How, and you know, I think there's some betting pools out there. How will George Bush embarrass the United States in Rome? I mean, you know when he talks, you know you're going to get one of those Bush gems, don't you? One of those beautiful, beautiful moments of Bushism, like, what did he say about the terrorists? The terrorists never quit thinking about ways to harm America, and neither do we. We'll probably get one of those somewhere along the way, won't we? Sure we will. Well, listen, let's take our quarter-hour break. And when we come back, we'll draw the focus a little closer to home. This is Head On.
Real for the real majority. Head On.
Thank you. the job, why not take your retirement savings with you? Now you can roll over your 401k with someone who's always been there for you. Someone you can count on. Someone like Maria Dooley in Richwood, Regina Echo in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, your State Farm agents. Whether you're changing jobs, between jobs, or retiring, consider rolling over your 401k with State Farm. Then, no matter where your career takes you, your 401k money will be with the people who know you and your plans for the future. Call State Farm agents Maria Dooley in Richwood, Regina Echo in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, and ask about a tax-deferred 401k rollover. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services. Consult your tax or legal advisor for specific advice.
Like a good neighbor,
any guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. Focus on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Visit Cupid memberships for free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from your members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto-match door, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you are universal, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or one of our fun local hosts.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. Look, this is... We've had this off and on for the last week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whenever it was that George's murderous little budget came out. But it's on the wires again. From the AP, state Medicaid payments for drug rebates for hospitals and physicians stand to be slashed by something on the order of $92.5 million. It's a proposal from the Department of Health and Human Resources. And in total, beyond that $92.5 million, that there's a total of at least $115 million being cut from nine Medicaid programs, according to the draft that our legislators recently got. And I've been telling you about this, those are the cuts to the optional population. You know, the optional human beings. The optional lives. You know, the people who aren't required to be covered by the federal government, but we cover because we feel like it's the decent, upright, dare I say it, Christian thing to do. Now, those aren't the only programs on the chopping block. Waivers for the elderly and disabled. Now, it just makes you feel all tingly inside, doesn't it? Programs for home health. Programs for labs. Programs for group homes. Programs for nursing homes. Things similar to, say, the hospice in which Terri Schiavo rounded out her little life with a sleep. Martha Walker is the Health and Human Resources Secretary, and she says that this is only a draft and more programs are going to have to be axed in order to meet an expected Medicaid shortfall of $156 million. Where is the justification in this? What was the justification of that rotten, nasty Shelley Moore when she voted alongside the man who cracks the whip over her head, that filthy, rotten, bug-spray-huffing Tom DeLay? When she voted with him and his evil cronies to cut $15 billion from the Medicaid budget for the states, what is the justification for it? Well, George's war is too expensive. No, I'm not willing to take that anymore. I'm sick of it.
If we can afford to spend billions of dollars slaughtering Iraq, and we can give trillions of dollars away to the wealthiest 1% of this country, I want to know the justification for cutting off little old ladies in nursing homes. And I want to know what kind of a conscience occupies the mind of a person who is willing to do that. But then again, that's just me. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Well, I'm a little outraged, but, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be outraged about, Bob. That must be part of that culture of life or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, making back.
I don't know. You know, according to MSNBC, President Carter was kind of snubbed on this thing.
Really?
Yes. It's well, of course, just a little section says Carter had hoped to go as well, but backed off when told the Vatican had limited the official delegation to 5. And there were also others who were eager to attend.
Well, that means George Bush, Laura Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and kind of sleazy Rice takes precedence over Jimmy Carter?
Yeah. Jimmy Carter, the only president to welcome a pope to the White House.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, the guy who walks the walk and talks the same kind of talk that the pope, you know, dignity of human life, help people while they're alive, don't kill them if you don't have to. Yeah, that Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. And that, you know, in my humble opinion, at some point in time when history gets straightened out, we'll go down as one of the better presidents.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Carter is for real.
Well, he already goes down in history as the last president to supervise an economy that allowed Americans to have a traditional American family household of one job, one wage earner, and a mommy taking care of the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those leftist
family values.
Yeah, communist, socialist, or you know, all the evil things.
Yeah, right.
But listen, there's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened in Maryland?
Actually, I read a little bit about it. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. What do you think the odds of getting something like that passed here?
In right now, very hard, but it certainly allows me to start putting the pressure.
Sure.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, they did it in Maryland.
Yeah, start beating the drums now.
Well,
for
exactly.
Next year.
I mean, you know, what did they ask for except for people to be treated fairly? That's not, you know.
Right. Well, why, you know, and this, for those who don't know, well, you explain it.
Oh, the Walmart thing? Okay.
Yeah.
The Maryland legislature passed a law that employers the size of Walmart, and I've read two different things. The original legislation said that anybody that employed more than 10,000 people had to spend at least 8% of their payroll on health care benefits. So, they went on to say that they didn't try to single out Walmart, but the first thing I read was that they were the only people that, you know, fell under this law that had that many employees. But then later, and I don't know if they amended it or what, somebody said that, I'm trying to think of the aerospace or something contractor in Maryland. You know?
What is
not
it?
Not Lockheed. I don't know. Maybe Lockheed.
Yeah, maybe Lockheed Martin.
Somebody like that. Anyway, according to a later thing I read, there were a couple of different employers that would fall under this.
Okay. You know?
So they may have amended it to if you only have 6,000 employees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really a great thing. I mean, I think that's what legislatures are supposed to do.
Well, as opposed to the Republicans who just hate anybody who draws any kind of benefits, I guess it's the conservative way to approach things, why should you and I subsidize health care for Walmart?
Well, and that's exactly what we do.
You know, every single Walmart air is worth something on the order of, what?
$20 billion or
something. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Let them dig deep into their pockets and pay health care for their workers and make their workers' lives a little bit better so that they don't have to bow and scrape and get on the public health care system.
Well, exactly. I mean, according to what I read in this article, Walmart sales last year were $285 billion or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. You know, don't tell me you can't do that and provide, you know, well, we provide cheap goods for the people.
Oh, yeah, and you know, Wayne, that's the next argument. Well, we'll have to raise prices if we have to take care of our workers. Yes, well, then, you know, taking care of your workers should be like job one.
That should be job one. I mean, oh, God. Anyway, I thought that... Well, I'm real proud of Maryland.
Yes, I am. Is it going to pass? Is it going to be signed?
It's in the Senate, it is veto-proof. In the House, it lacked one vote of being veto-proof, and there were some members absent when the House voted.
But they have a Republican governor, don't they?
Oh, he's going to veto it.
Oh, he's for sure going
to
do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he's got to. Do you want another biscuit? You will veto this legislation.
Yeah, well, or you know, Sam Walton's ears will come after you with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, well, Walmart's in. I'm hoping that somebody's listening from the Fayetteville area. You know, there's another thing I saw today where. Inglewood, I believe it's New Jersey. My brother used to live in Inglewood, so I think that's what it is. Anyway, they had a fight with Walmart, and they won, and they sent a letter to Walmart that they want Walmart to sign a pact with the community that they will pay a living wage and health insurance and... You know, that they will try to work with, so, you know, people are starting to get a little bit.
Well, on the Fayetteville Walmart issue, Wayne, let me pick your brain a little bit because you know these kind of things. Now, the city fathers have not formally passed on this Walmart.
No, they have not.
Okay. Now, you are involved with the construction trades and you know how it is putting up a building and things like that. How is it that they're able to have the machines in there and be moving dirt already?
They own the land.
So they can just go ahead and start building
this? They could go do whatever they want. You know what? I mean, as far as the land, I mean, you know, they could push the dirt around, dig holes, make mountains, erase them, flatten them out, you know, all that stuff to build something. You know, I would hope. Now,
well, I noticed within
they need a permit.
Within the last 3 days, the black plastic fencing around the work site has gone up.
Yeah.
The signs on the highways, blasting ahead, turn off two-way radio.
Big dozers. You know.
I mean, they own the land. They can do anything they want. Somehow that's still just a little bit offensive to me, Wayne. It's like telling the people of Fayetteville, you know, if you oppose us, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway.
That's exactly what they're doing, Bob. They are trying to intimidate the people, and this should really excite the people. They are trying to intimidate the people, even though I know and I just told you that they can't. I mean, you know, like I say, they own that land. They could push the dirt around all they want. They could pave it, you know. They could put up lights and stuff. But they can't build without approval.
Any idea who's doing the dirt work, Wayne?
Oh, I'm sure it's a non-union outfit. They're up there doing it already.
Yeah, but is it even West Virginians?
I don't know that. I don't know. That's Paramount Development.
Right, out of South Carolina.
Right, but they, you know, they have a spokesman, some bigwig down here. Yeah, I can't think of his name right at this particular minute. These are the same people that are building the, that built the one down in Beckley.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're getting some big shoe store and this and that, and they're going to build a theater.
Right.
And, you know, all that. Same developer. And what he's doing up in Fayetteville is a real slap in those people's face.
Well, that's what
exactly
it feels
what
like.
It doesn't matter what you think. I'm going to do this anyway.
Yeah, and the business with the Fayetteville water supply is just disgusting, Wayne.
Oh, right.
I mean, their water supply craps out in a hard rain.
Yes.
And, you know, they get boil water advisories, and it gets overtaxed.
You know what we're going to have to do, Bob?
We're going to have to build a new water system. We're going to have to finance Walmart a new water system.
Well, we have to raise the rates. I mean, you know.
SOBs, you know that?
Exactly. But see, that's all part of the process, okay? The people, you know, some people read the paper, the majority of people don't. The majority of the people are too involved in trying to survive and make a living that they can't watch everything that's going on. So people go by that site, they see bulldozers all over there, and they go, oh, wow, Walmart won.
Yeah.
So there's no use in fighting that anymore. You know, it's all part of, you know, you're not dealing with stupid people. You're dealing with ruthless, unethical people.
Yeah.
But you can't call them stupid. You know, I could call them a lot of other things, too, but not on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I've almost gotten to the point of thinking about maybe running a little best of tomorrow night and trying to be there at 6 o'clock or whatever.
I thought that was last night.
No, it's tomorrow night. Yesterday there was a public hearing.
Okay.
Tomorrow night is the city council meeting. And, you know,
it is city council, too.
Yeah, and one of the things that gets under my skin is
city council are the people that have to do the rezoning?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so that's in the city?
I suppose.
How did they do that? Did they annex that? That's a pretty good piece up the road, isn't it?
You would think it is, but it's really not.
No.
I mean, you can stand on that ground and probably throw a rock and hit downtown. It's not like what you think.
It must hook around behind.
Well, it does. It's within the residential confines.
All right.
You know, which is why they have to rezone it, because the way it was set up in the late '60s, you're not supposed to build big box stores on top of people's houses.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, me too. But it kind of irritates me that it's only a city council issue and not a Fayette County issue.
Well, and that should upset you.
This affects businesses outside of corporate Fayetteville.
Yes.
I mean, this has an impact on the Krogers. This has an impact on all the little stores in the strip mall there at Fayette Crossings. This has an impact on the Walmart in Oak Hill, which will be shut down for this one.
Oh, yeah.
This has an impact on my little grocery store across the river.
Yes.
You
know, plus how much money will the state put in, you know, putting entrances off of 19 and lights? Da-da-da.
Yeah, and it's gonna buy me another 5 to 10 minutes in my commute every day.
Yep.
So I got a problem seeing this as just Fayetteville's issue.
And I agree with you 100%. But I'm trying, you know, with what I was telling you about earlier, this thing in Maryland.
Right.
And the thing in New Jersey is these people can be fought and they can be beat.
Well, they've been beaten here in West Virginia on a number of occasions. I just don't understand. And the funny thing is, the way it breaks out in Fayetteville, Wayne, is a lot of the old guard, old line, been here 200 years families are coming out saying, yeah, bring us a Walmart. And it's the people who have come in fairly recently and actually care about the sustainability and the beauty and the peace and the quiet of Fayetteville, you know, because they came here for it, that are saying, you know, this is poison.
And it is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Well, I hope people will learn that we can fight them.
Well, I mean, you know, it's amazing that watching the news the other night, you know, people were speaking for it and all that, and you know, there was one woman on there. Well, we need one here, so I don't have to drive all the way to where? I mean, there's one in Oak Hill and there's one in Summerlin.
Yeah, so I don't have to drive 5 miles.
Yeah, well, and that's what it is, I guess.
Can't make it work, Wayne. We got to get out of here, though. We're past the break, man.
All right, brother.
Later.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye. Okay, late break. That's all right. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. There's a chance to get in if you want to. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A domestic dispute in Wyoming County has sent two men to the hospital. Sheriff's Deputy Randall Aleph says the incident occurred at around 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon at a residence on West Virginia 97 near Maben. He says Lewis Price and Timothy Peck got into an argument and shot each other. Aleph says they don't know for sure how the argument started, but they're interviewing witnesses at the scene today, and he says he'll talk to the prosecutor today about what charges should be filed.
He'll advise us on filing charges, and actually once he advises us what charges be filed, we'll file those charges, and if necessary, both gentlemen will be arrested and brought into court.
Both Price and Pack are being treated at Raleigh General today. Aleph says their injuries are not serious. Former state legislator Jackie Withrow has been transferred to a nursing home after several months at CAMC. The 86-year-old was found unconscious in her Maxwell Hill Road home in January after an apparent fall down the stairs. She was taken to CAMC, and yesterday she was transferred to the Hilltop Nursing Home, Oak Hill. Longtime friend Judy Allman says Withrow's condition has greatly improved. She's no longer on life support and is communicating again. Hinton's Mayor Cleo Matthews is returning to office for another term. Matthews received 450 votes in Hinton City election yesterday. The race was close, with Summers County Floodplain Coordinator David Dent receiving 373 votes. And in other news this evening, homeschooled children who want to play team sports could no longer do so at public schools should the state Supreme Court overturn a lower court ruling that allows the practice. Lawyers for the State Board of Education and also West Virginia Secondary School Activities Commission argued today that a Kanawha County Circuit judge was wrong when he said a homeschooled Marion County child could wrestle on a public school team. For the rest of the evening, partly cloudy and mild, low 70s. Then tonight, showers likely, also thunderstorms possible late in the night, but more likely tomorrow. Cloudy on Thursday, high near 65. Thursday night, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, and cooler, low 46. And then for Friday, rain likely, mostly before late afternoon, then the rest of the day to be cloudy and cooler, with a high only near 56. And a slight chance of showers on Friday night. And low Friday night near 39. Then the weekend looks nice, partly cloudy Saturday, high 60. Sunny Sunday with a high near 65. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
There's a word for people who take money from others under false pretenses. The word is criminal. But this word does not apply to corporate CEOs, even if they are guilty of the kind of flimflam that would send common hucksters to prison. Instead of bilking people in Ponzi schemes, some CEOs fleece investors by claiming to have achieved enormous profits in the previous year, when the company actually made much less or even suffered a loss. These executives cook the books to make the corporation's performance and theirs look far better than it is, thus artificially jacking up the company's stock price and duping investors into putting more money into the scam. The executives, who get rewarded based on meeting profit goals, walk away with millions. Take William Wise, honcho of El Paso Corporation. In 2001, this energy giant reported a $93 million profit, and Wise cashed in with a $3.4 million bonus plus $6 million in other incentive pay, on top of his $1.3 million regular pay. 2 years later, oopsie doopsie, El Paso admitted that instead of making a $93 million profit that year, it had actually lost $447 million. This got Wise booted from his job. But what about that $10 million or so he looted from stockholders by falsely claiming to have made a profit? Not only has he avoided any prosecution, but he has not paid back a dime of his ill-gotten gain, nor has the corporation even asked for repayment. Wise is not alone in profiting from this kind of high-class hucksterism. Time Warner, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Xerox, and Quest are among the corporations that paid fat bonuses in the past couple of years to CEOs based on false claims of profits. They let the CEOs walk, they say, because they don't want more bad publicity, or because they fear it'll be too costly to sue the CEOs for repayment. This is Jim Hightower saying, who says crime doesn't pay? It can pay very nicely if the crime is in the suites.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
You could be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
19 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Just a couple of last notes on the Walmart issue. One of the things you always hear in that discussion is that the reason we have to buy all our stuff from China is that American workers can't compete. And, of course, what you have to understand is that is a lie. It's just a brazen, right out front lie. Because as we speak, there are union workers in America producing goods of comparable quality to that junk that comes from China, and it prices at virtually the same price point retail as what the Chinese garbage does. Now, what's the difference? You know the difference. You're doing the math in your head right now. And you don't even have your shoes off. The difference is the profit motive, the greed motive. And when it comes to Walmart, there is a greater opportunity for greed in China when you pay a human being 50 or 75 cents a day to make hundreds of things that you're going to sell for 20 bucks. That is the difference. That is the shiv that you're sticking in your fellow Americans' back every time you walk into Walmart and see that smiling little devil face. So just for your consideration, let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Let's talk about Jimmy Carter and the Pope thing a little bit, you know. There was two popes that died during his presidency, and he didn't go to either one of their funerals.
Which ones were they?
Pope Paul II and Pope, I think...
Paul the Sixth. Paul the Sixth.
The Sixth?
Yeah.
And the other one was the 23rd.
No, that was John Paul I.
John Paul I?
Yeah, the 33-day Pope.
Yeah, the 33-day Pope. I'm going by memory. I'm trying not to read.
No, that's okay.
He did my head last night.
He wasn't invited to either one of those.
He wasn't?
No.
How do you know?
Because I read up on it today, Jeff.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, why does he want to go to this one, though?
Because they shared a mindset of basic human rights.
Did he not want to go to those other two?
He wasn't invited.
I find that hard to believe.
But the Vatican...
If he was the first one to ever have... a pope welcomed in the White House.
Which would be John Paul.
Hmm?
And John Paul was the first pope wasn't he? The first pope to visit America?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I couldn't really say. I don't know. Maybe, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But the point here is that Condoleezza wanted to go instead.
Well, I don't blame Bush for not taking him because Carter's been running around the world talking trash about him behind his back.
Behind his back? Well, yeah. then Bush couldn't possibly know about it, Jeff.
Well, he found out, though, when he got his Nobel Peace Prize. Kind of gave it away. That's what they do for this kind of people. I don't blame him for not taking him at all. Really, I hear he got an invitation to ride over extended by really the person that he ought to be going with in the first place.
Who?
Fidel Castro. Fidel said he could ride over with him and his delegation.
And of course, Jimmy Carter said, "Nah, I don't think so." Fidel. wouldn't be a good idea.
You know, talk a little bit about West Virginia, if I can.
Okay, yeah, back up one second. I'll throw something out for you. I just happened to be scanning by. Get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
I happened to be scanning by. I caught a little bit of C-SPAN this afternoon.
Yes.
A debate in the Senate about, do you know what TV Marti is?
Yeah.
That's
our propaganda station that we beam over their country.
Which would be all well and good except for the fact that they can't get it.
Why not?
Well, because the Cuban government blocks the signal. They jam the signal.
They're jamming our signal.
Yeah, because we're beaming it directly into their sovereign country.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, apparently we're going to throw more money at it. And, you know, you're kind of fiscally conservative, so I thought
Absolutely.
I'd get your thoughts on this. We spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars per year.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, we had a great big blimp that was called Fat Albert,
mm-hmm.
and it beamed that signal that got jammed. And nobody, you know, the only thing that shows up on TV Marti in Cuba is fuzz and snow.
Yeah.
So we went from that. Now we are flying an airplane from Pennsylvania all the way down to fly to Cuba and beam it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now we want to buy more planes to beam it in. At some point, doesn't this seem just a little bit stupid?
Yeah, I think right now I'd kind of... He's getting pretty old. He's not going to live a whole... I mean, I wouldn't imagine. How old is he, you think?
70.
About 80, ain't he?
No, 74, 75, I think.
He's only that old?
Yeah.
He's been down there longer than Bird.
Bird hasn't been down there, Jeff.
I mean, he's been down there longer than Bird's been over there.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't been...
He only came to power in 1959, 19, well, it was New Year's Day in 1960, I believe.
I thought it was about 55.
No. Fulgencio Batista was overturned around New Year's Day, 1960.
That would be 45 years.
Yeah.
He was
a very young man. He was a law school graduate, but he was a fairly young man when he
about
took that.
25. Phew, that's young, ain't it?
Yeah.
But
anyway.
What do you think will happen when he dies? Do you think that it? I think we'd be slow to warm up to each other. But I think that after he dies, I think that we'll make a friend out of him.
As far as the American people are concerned, they're friends of ours to this day. If you you can, if you're 69 years old, Jeff. 69 years old.
Ooh, oh, man. He could be around another 25 years.
Yeah. The Cuban people bear us no ill will. Never have, never will. For the most part, if you're willing to risk the ire of the State Department, you can fly to Mexico or fly to Canada, and you can get on a plane there and fly straight into Havana, and you can tell the authorities there at Havana, please don't stamp my passport.
Huh.
And they won't. And you can run around with your dollars, and you can have the time of your life.
You couldn't give me a free ticket down there. I'd be terrified.
Of what?
Man, if something happened, because, you know, who really knows what it's like down there?
People do it all the time.
If a group of people nabbed you, you're just nabbed. Because our government...
That really doesn't happen, though, Jeff, because we're welcome there. It's not them saying, don't you come down here. It's us saying we don't want our people going there. You know, people go down there on medical missions, taking pharmaceuticals down, things like that, humanitarian missions.
It's a tough situation.
That's a stupid situation.
I think it's tough because they try, you know, they've done a lot of things that, you know, just almost unforgivable, I think.
What?
They try to get them missiles down there.
That was the Soviets telling them we're going to put missiles there.
But they said okay.
Well, sure.
You know, they were going to kill all of us.
No, they weren't.
Jeff,
it's a history moment. Do you not understand why the Soviets wanted to put missiles in Cuba?
To kill us.
No.
To offset
the missiles that we had sitting in West Germany pointed straight at them. A 5-minute flight.
I understand that.
And they wanted us to feel that same level of visceral fear. Because they didn't trust us not to nuke them any more than we trusted them not to nuke us.
I know, but I'm on our side, and I think...
Wait a minute, what the hell are you talking about? I'm on our side, but
I mean, I think we should have had our missiles in Europe, and they shouldn't have had none anywhere around us. I am biased. I won't deny it.
I think we should have been able to level
at least them in 5 minutes and them never get the first one off.
Well, at least...
I want to win.
Right, because it's a football game. Jeff.
If we do it, I want to be alive.
Jeff.
I don't want to be killed.
Newsflash. there are no winners in nuclear war.
Well,
none.
I hear you, but I wanted to, you know, have it the way we wanted it. You know, I want to do things the way we want to. I don't want to have other countries telling us, well, you're going to do it like this.
But at any rate, the Cuban people think very well of us.
I understand.
And frankly, you can go. I mean, if you're willing to risk the wrath of the State Department, you can go down there, and you don't have to. You don't have to see any McDonald's. You don't. You know, things are. You know, along the beaches.
Maybe someday.
Yeah. But no, when he dies, I don't know what will happen.
Sugar for all.
I suspect that when he dies, you won't be able to swing a dead cat in Havana without seeing a McDonald's or a Burger King or a Wendy's or, you know.
Plus, they ripped us off for billions when he took power and kicked all of our guys out, and kept our buildings and stuff we'd invested in.
Right, because it was ours.
Yeah,
Our buildings. Like that, right. Venezuelan oil is our oil.
Well, not exactly. The buildings that we built. Our buildings and all the investment in their infrastructure.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a time lag going on in all of that. You ought to read a little history of the Cuban Revolution.
West Virginia, we're talking about Medicaid cuts and things like that.
Right.
Well, last Wednesday, that would be a week ago today,
yeah,
they appropriated over $61,000 for a museum at Chief Logan State Park.
Oh, I've got one worse than that, Jeff. I've got one way worse than that.
The one under it?
No. We're cutting $156 million out of Medicaid, but apparently we're thinking about buying an airplane or two.
Oh, I heard something about that, too. Yeah.
You know, damn.
We're hiring a consulting firm.
Yeah, that's a screamer, too.
To show us how to save money. And this is, I'm going to go through the fees. This is all...
Yeah, that's okay. I know what the fees are, but people deserve to hear this.
For 12 months, for time constraints, I'm not going to say that every time. A vice president at $65,000 a month, at $75,600 a month, totaling $1 million. A manager at a fee for $55,000 for 12 months, $667,000 a year. Senior associate, $42,000 a month, totaling over $500,000 a year. Three associates, $33,000 a month. Those three guys will cost us almost $1.25 million. Four analysts at over $25,000 a month. That'll cost us, for those four people, over $1.25 million. Two information specialists at almost $20,000 a month. That'll cost us $500,000.
No, this is
a bunch of them.
This is a real screamer.
$1 million a month for one man, a vice president.
You know, unless he's batting .375, I don't want to pay him $1 million a month.
These 14 people.
Or a year.
We're going to pay them $50,000 a month for travel expenses.
From Boston.
We're going to give them each $35 a day for meal allowance. They're going to order out the Big Mac to McDonald's three times a day, spend $10 and keep the change. I know how this game is played. But, man, this is going to cost us $6 million for these 14 people. The vice president, the manager, and the senior associate. These three guys ain't going to do anything. They're just going to sit around.
Yeah, they're the noble Turks. They're going to say, you know.
We have four analysts. These are going to be the people that are trying to figure out how we can save money.
Right.
So that's all we're getting for these people. Out of this $6 million.
Now, the legislature's not the one hiring these people, is it?
They get a whole floor in a building.
Yeah, but and there's rent to be paid on that.
Who's doing this?
Well, I mean, which branch of government is this coming out of, Jeff? Isn't it coming out of the executive branch?
I don't see it looking real fast.
I believe.
Division of purchasing?
Yeah, that's the executive branch.
Okay, that's where it's coming from. How can they do that?
How can they? Well, yeah. Are you asking that rhetorically? Okay. How can you do that when the people that make this state go are paying $2.30 a gallon for gasoline?
And they're giving judges, governors, secretary of states, everybody down there is getting a big pay raise.
Yeah, those guys don't need it.
While we're cutting Medicaid.
while we're cutting Medicaid, group homes, nursing homes, home health.
Let's say one thing about the Medicaid. These are proposals. None of this is etched in stone yet. So when it all gets signed, we might be, going on and on about something that doesn't ever really happen.
Well, no, so far, I mean...
Our budget hasn't been passed yet.
No, it hasn't been passed. It's passed the House. The $15 billion in Medicaid cuts have passed the House, Jeff.
But the Senate can adjust that, right?
No, not really, because Tom DeLay has said he will shut the whole blessed government down if he doesn't get $15 billion in cuts. And he can do it. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this today, but Tom DeLay paid his wife and daughter something on the order of $500,000 out of his political action fund lately.
Yeah. That ain't no good, is it?
No. It's dirty.
You know anything about Hillary's big campaign scandal that she's getting caught up in out in California?
No.
She's in one, too. It's about the same thing that DeLay's in. She's got over $1.7 million in illegally gotten campaign funds.
Has a grand jury been impaneled?
They're doing the investigating. You can Google Hillary campaign scandal, California.
I'll have to read up on this because she's got a long way to go before she's ever going to get anywhere near Tom DeLay.
See, I've been listening to another guy, and he's saying, if we're going to talk and harp and bash Tom DeLay, how come Hillary gets a free pass? Because she's done about the same.
Well, see, among other things, if you look at the Tom DeLay story, the reason we harp on Tom DeLay is because, among other things, Texas law says that a politician cannot accept political donations from a corporation.
Hmm.
Okay.
He did that.
And what he did is he set up, and I mean, this just kind of. I think anybody with a sense of decency, this is going to sort of rub them like heavy grit sandpaper on sunburned skin. He set up a foundation for foster children, okay? And the corporations gave till it hurt. And then he turned around and funded Texans for a Republican majority and Americans for a Republican majority out of that that fund for foster children.
And that's when you're talking about when they're trying to do, what was that they was trying to do to keep him from losing his spot if he got indicted?
No, yeah, well, that was that's,
is that what you talk about he'd be getting indicted for?
No, that's the investigation that he stands to be indicted within the state of Texas.
And then he'd lose his...
Well, under the old rules, he would have to step down, but the Republicans jumped in and said, "Oh no, we can't do that."
That's what.
Yeah, that's an ethics rule, and apparently ethics is just not in vogue in the Congress right now.
And what's happened in West Virginia today? Anything? Did they third party get through or anything? Last week, man.
Yeah. Today was the day it had to happen for third party. I haven't seen anything. I'm going to have to look during the top of the hour. If I find anything, I'll let you know.
They couldn't do it. Because they'll be there till Saturday night.
Right, Saturday night, midnight, that's
it. They can't do it Saturday?
It had to come out today for the final, so that the final readings could happen in advance of Saturday.
Oh, okay, it had to come out of the committee thing.
Yes. And as of yesterday, there was a compromise on it that the Senate said they could live with, but it had to come out of the conference committee today.
I hope I missed a few times in these sessions right here Saturday night. One of the guys will get the floor and the microphone about 11 o'clock and not yield it back. Remember that happened a few times?
Well, and it could happen again. And frankly, if it happened and was sufficient to kill this bad faith bill, it would be fine by me, Jeff.
Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Take care. All right, top of the hour break. Does anybody know what happened to bad faith today? Let me know. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Across America, local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, providing free airtime.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your donations.
America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Clouds more dominant than clear sky into this evening and tonight as we hold a low in the mid-50s. As we get out of that, not much warmer with a 1 in 2 chance of showers and thunderstorms arriving ahead of an area of upper-level low pressure. Pretty strong trough as well. Should put us to 61 on Thursday afternoon. As we look at Friday, the system moves east. Cloudy with occasional showers will linger, though, with a 59 and then more sunshine Saturday.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid. And on.
6 minutes after 9 o'clock, this is the final hour of tonight's prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and Jeff mentioned the third-party bad faith issue as we were running out of time. There is something out there on that issue that you should be aware of, and I hope I can make this somewhat coherent, because when you start talking about insurance issues, there's a tendency to talk about it in such a way that your eyeballs sort of roll back in your head and, you know, you doze off, and God knows I wouldn't want anybody falling asleep at the wheel or anything, so I'll try to keep it interesting. There was a development the last couple of days. You know, there was, the two lawyers, John Skaggs and Al Carlin, were suing in Kanawha County Circuit Court to get the secret memos between Insurance Commissioner Jane Klein and the governor's office and the insurance industry, and they got them. And did you see how little coverage that got? Now, I mean, I get the paper every day, and maybe it's because I get the what does the Gazette call it, the Mountain Edition. That's the one that they put to bed at about 6 o'clock the night before, and then the later editions have more stuff in it. So maybe I missed it that way. But at any rate, they got their information. And lo and behold, when they went through the documents about, you know, the ones that were trade secrets, remember, we can't tell you what the blacked out portions say because they're trade secrets. Remember that? Bend over, West Virginia. Because it's my understanding that those trade secrets consisted of, well, what it boils down to, you know how you've been promised, to, and the insurance company says they will cut rates in West Virginia by $50 million? It's a promise? Remember that? No. Sorry. There's no promises. There's no figures. It's all, you do this, and we'll think about doing that. Now, maybe it's just me, but that's not what I call negotiating from a position of strength. But there's a reason for not making these promises, and there's a reason, you know, we've said from time to time, why won't they just open their books? You know, we'll promise, you know, if State Farm will open their books, we'll promise not to tell Nationwide or GEICO or Allstate. State. And we'll make the same promise to everybody else. But, the reason they don't want to open their books, I can hear people going to sleep now. Some of this ties in with some stuff that Gene in Portland, Oregon has sent us, and I appreciate it. There is something out there called, get a cup of coffee, okay? There's something out there called reinsurance. Do you know what that is? I didn't for a long time. I learned a while back. Reinsurance is, in essence, insurance for insurance companies. In other words, insurance companies know that they have a certain amount of risk, okay? And the risk they have is, for instance, you homeowners policyholder, you umbrella policyholder, you life insurance policyholder, you commercial policy holder, you car insurance policy holder, you're the risk, okay? You are the potential claimant. And as such, well, insurance companies, can we take it as given that insurance companies hate, just hate to pay out money? I mean, they're not in the paying out money business. They're in the taking in money business. I mean, that's... I'm not being mean. That's... If I was an insurance company, that's the way I'd feel about it. Don't want to pay out money unless I absolutely have to. I got a couple of articles from Gene, and it talked at some length about the reinsurance business. And what it is when insurance companies have reinsurers, and reinsurers pay claims when the primary insurance has to pay a claim. Okay? It's not scintillating conversation, but you need to understand this if you're going to understand what's going on here and why we are being conned. By virtue of reinsurance, when your insurer pays you, the reinsurer pays the insurance company because they file a claim just like you filed a claim. But they'll probably finagle it a little bit, and they'll figure in the time that the adjuster spent trying to figure out how much to pay you. And in the long run, what the reinsurer pays to the insurer is probably more than what the insurer paid to you. Are you figuring it out yet? Are you there? Yeah. Have you figured out you're at an Amway meeting yet? Pyramid scheme. Legal. So the reason this all has to be extra double secret probation creepy secret is because if they paid out claims at the horrific rates that they try to tell us they do, they're getting paid for every claim they pay out. They're not losing money paying claims. They're probably making money. Wow. Great work if you can get it. So when you see in the Chazgaz that advertisement, that full-page advertisement that's been running for weeks now that shows the guy climbing the rock and tells us that we're 49th. Do we have a Gazette laying... see if we can find that ad. And it tells you that we're 49th and we're an entire judicial hellhole. As I have told you before, and now you have even further evidence to back it up, you are being conned. I mean the real slick stuff. The real bunko artist, pave your driveway, take your money, never show up, never pave anything. The aluminum siding people, continuous gutter machine people, this is a real con, okay? When they pay your claim, they get paid for paying your claim. And there's another layer underneath that that pays the claim that paid the claim that paid the claim. I think it's modeled on the old Hindu idea of creation, where the world sits on an elephant's back and the elephant stands on a great big turtle and the turtle stands on a turtle and the turtle stands on a, and it's turtles all the way down. And the money just flows in this money stream. By this point in time, it's an electronic data stream. And who are the chumps? We're the chumps. Now, I've got today's Chazgaz. I've got this hateful full page ad, and you know they give you this list here, 1 through 50, and we're number 49 for legal fairness, according to a casual poll of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce picks up the phone and goes, "Hey, Fred, out in California, you ever been in court or had your company in court in West Virginia?" And Fred goes, "No, not really." Well, even though you haven't, how do you feel about the courts in West Virginia? Well, I don't know. Well, they're bad, aren't they? Well, I guess they're bad. No, they're real bad, aren't they? Oh, yeah, I guess they're real bad. That's a hellhole, isn't it, Fred, even though you've never been there? Well, yeah, I guess. You guess? Oh, I'm sure. So, you know, that's what you're dealing with. But take a look. I want you to look at these people's ad. I want you, and it's advertising, man. It's bait and switch. It's every dirty thing that ever happened with advertising in the history of the United States. Best to worst legal systems. Now, they're telling us, remember, they're telling us that, what? West Virginia is a judicial hellhole, and no business will come to West Virginia because it's a judicial hellhole, right? That we're killing ourselves because we're not giving away enough of the state to the insurance industry. Right? Right. So, we're number 49 in legal fairness. But that's legal fairness according to that's based on false premises. We understand that. What we are is number 2 in the nation in legal fairness to consumers, if you take this and look at it the way it ought to be. Because if you think, I mean, think about the globe. We look at it, North America's on top, Europe's on top, Asia's on top. Well, if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is holding a globe, they hold it where the tip of South America and the Horn of Africa and Australia are on top. They're looking at it upside down. But let's see. Nebraska is number 2 in legal fairness. We're number 49. Nebraska's number 2. And Nebraska is just blowing the world away with open for business. I got a very good friend who lives in Nebraska. And he can tell you, once you get outside of Omaha, and maybe that little cluster there in Lincoln, there's not a lot of business in Nebraska. North Dakota! North Dakota is number 3. If only we modify our legal system and take away rights from consumers, we can be like North Dakota. And if you, I mean, you, all you got to do is look out here on the highway and you can see all the cars with the North Dakota plates. And all the and all the other cars with West Virginia plates and the little signs of North Dakota or bust. Let's see, who else can... Oh, yeah, we can be like Indiana. Indiana's legal system is so fair that... Who's that former Bush administration cretin that just became governor and immediately raised corporate taxes in Indiana? Huh. Wonder how business-friendly they are now. Gosh, we can be a business dynamo like number 9 Wyoming. We can turn the business world on its ear like number 11, Maine. Oh, we can set the world on fire like number 5, Iowa. Now, isn't that just a little bit silly? Are you as stupid as the United States Chamber of Commerce thinks you are? Are you? I don't think so. This is just amazing. And yet we're going to give our rights away for $8 a month. Woohoo! Don't spend it all at the same gas pump, sunshine! Let's take a break. You can just sort of chew on this and digest it a little bit. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Men all over America talking about Testosterpro. Listen.
After I tried Testosterpro, I felt like I was the man I wanted to be. I wish I'd found out about it sooner because I feel like I'm more of a man now than when I was younger.
I'm Dr. Richard Cohen, MD, men's health specialist. In many men, testosterone levels can fall rapidly after age 35. But now there's Testosterpro, the complete performance boosting system I designed for men who are starting to feel their age. If you don't feel like the man you used to be, call now for a 30-day risk-free trial of the Testosterpro system, which includes my bonus report on aging and its effects on energy, sex drive, and stamina, free with your order.
Call now for your confidential trial of Testosterpro. 1-800-596-8357. 1-800-596-8357. Results will vary. 1-800-596-8357. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-596-8357.
Where there's a tornado, there's a forest fire. Mother Nature is at her best.
Where there's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
And disaster strikes or one volunteer for us.
Help you reach out and see if they're doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
When I'm under, I'm weightless, floating away, and all I think about is doing it again.
Michael Swan is under the influence. Volunteer swim coach. Spending a little time coaching, he helps Michael stay off drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to healthyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley. Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Just to sort of stay with the theme for a moment. In today's Chaz Gaz, there was a commentary by some guy named Tim Lavender. I don't know him. Don't know who he is. But apparently frequently sits down to high tea at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party because this commentary he offered is crazier than a sprayed roach. He's talking about the same thing we're talking about, only, of course, he uses the Republican buzzword, lawsuit reform. Not what it is, you know, because, again, they get to frame the debate. They get to tell us which language we use in discussing it. It's lawsuit reform. It's reform. It's not a matter of taking away your legal rights guaranteed to you under the Constitution. No. Hell no, that's lawsuit reform. And he starts off by saying, solving difficult problems usually takes a great deal of compromise because people and organizations tend to get entrenched in their attitudes and policy positions. Pay attention to that. They get entrenched. I'm using my highlighter here. They get entrenched in their attitudes and policy positions. Well, that's bad, isn't it, Mr. Lavender? Lavender blue, dilly dilly. Isn't that bad, Mr. Lavender? That's bad. It's bad for people to get entrenched in their policy positions. And, of course, the people who are entrenched are the big, mean, nasty lawyers and the big, mean, nasty consumers that are trying to hurt the poor little fragile corporations and insurance companies.
Give me a Kleenex. Poor little insurance companies.
But, of course, within the next paragraph, Mr. Lavender himself proves that if anyone is entrenched in this debate, he is it. People get entrenched in their attitudes and policy positions. So the next paragraph, he says, it's a complicated problem. The lawsuit abuse that has put the brakes on West Virginia's ability to attract new employers. The lawsuit abuse. Now who's entrenched? Now who is singing the same old sad, tired, fraudulent, pitiful song that they have been singing for great googly moogly 15, 20 years now? Lawsuit abuse. When in fact, If you paid someone independently to audit the lawsuits filed in this state, the number that are actually frivolous would probably, you could count them in a matter of a minute or so, and even a Republican wouldn't have to take their shoes off for the extra digits. And here's the next one. Now, we've talked about this, so you know what it really is. Here's another entrenched attitude. For the last 4 years, our state has ranked 49th out of 50 in a nationwide poll on legal fairness. Unfortunately, Mr. Lavender doesn't have the intellectual honesty, or maybe just the overall honesty, to admit that that poll is a bunch of unscientific hogwash. You ever seen hogwash? I mean, we use that phrase from time to time. It's one of those country phrases. You ever seen hogwash? It ain't pretty. You ever been around when a hog was washed? The runoff is not nice. And trust me when I tell you, this survey is hogwash. It stinks. It's full of crap. A bunch of insurance executives and corporate executives worth over $100 million a year are surveyed about doing business in West Virginia and judicial fairness, and maybe seven of them were able to say that they actually had some experience. So you are being asked to believe seven people with only marginal experience in our state that aren't even West Virginia executives. For the last 4 years, our state has ranked 49th out of 50 in a nationwide poll on legal fairness. How damn dumb do they think we are? And here's another one of those entrenched attitudes. I guess this was his thesis in the opening paragraph. I didn't realize it. I thought he was actually going to be honest when I read this thing this morning. Wait a minute. He's with an insurance agency in Charleston. Hell no, he wasn't going to be honest. Employers don't want to do business in a state where they think they will be targeted for frivolous lawsuits, or worse, where they may not get a fair trial. Now, we're just going to have to chew on that little bit of gristle for a few minutes. Because he cheats with the language. Dirty, rotten cheater. Got caught. Cheaters never win. Employers don't want to do business in a state where they... Do you have your copy out? We can mark it up together. Where they think they will be targeted. No. Wrong word. Thinking happens in the brain and is based upon empirical data. What they want here, Tim Lavender wants here, is that word that we despise on this program. Hear what he meant to say. Employers don't want to do business in a state where they, come on, everybody, you know the word, you're a regular, 1, 2, 3, where they believe they will be targeted. Employers don't want to do business in a state where they believe they will be targeted. Now, stop. Why do they believe they will be targeted? Time out. Had to get my other piece of newspaper here. Why do they believe they will be targeted? Page 9A, a full-page ad on today, April the 6th, 2005, the Charleston Gazette. This year, a Harris poll ranked West Virginia 49th among the states in legal fairness. But the good news is there's only one way to go, and that's up. Why do businesses around this country believe they will be targeted? Believe they will be targeted. Why do they believe that? I'll tell you why they believe that. Because for days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks, this stinking, slanderous, libelous fraud has run in the major newspapers of West Virginia. And this fraud has been perpetrated not only on us as West Virginians, but upon the business community thinking about locating here. This fraud has been perpetrated on them by the Chamber of Commerce. I will debate, I will argue, but you cannot begin any rational discussion of the issue with a pack of rotten, stinking lies. There's that word again. 71% believe that West Virginia's lawsuit system is in need of significant change. You want to know what the significant change these fat cat greed-headed monsters want? The first change they want is a blanket statement from government, open for business, that you can't sue them. They can kill you, cut you, rob you, rape you, burn you, poison you, and you can't sue them. And there's a whole raft of lawsuit immunity bills trying to truck their way through the legislature. And then so many of us are just sitting quietly by going, well, if corporate executives think it's a hellhole, it must be. I mean, I'm a bad person. Only a hellhole would let a bad person like me live here. If we let them do this to us, we deserve to have it done to us. But not me, Sunshine, and not us. We're paying attention. We've got the lights on and our eyes open. And we know that the United States Chamber of Commerce is a nasty, slanderous organization that despises West Virginia. So, there's the answer to Tim Lavender's question about why employers don't want to do business here because they believe they will be targeted for frivolous lawsuits. Who tells them they're going to be targeted? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce tells them they'll be targeted. They don't have one damned bit of data to support it. If they did, there would be a string of case citations in this ad. Smith versus Big Corporation of America. Jones versus other Big Corporation of America. Ray versus yet another Big Corporation of America. Verdict for plaintiff, $1 billion. Verdict for plaintiff, $2 billion. Verdict for plaintiff, $3 billion. But they don't have it because they are liars. Damn them all to hell. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. President Bush had a good look yesterday at a filing cabinet in Parkersburg that he says shows how shaky the finances of Social Security are. The four-drawer cabinet at the Bureau of the Public Debt contains depictions of government bonds totaling $1.7 trillion. But Bush, who visited Parkersburg yesterday to talk about Social Security, says they're not just underfunded IOUs. Nearby at WVU's Parkersburg campus, he said, imagine, the retirement security for future generations is sitting in a filing cabinet. Bush wants a restructured Social Security system that would include private investment accounts, what he calls hard assets. But Democratic leaders in Congress have written to complain he's endangering Uncle Sam's credit by casting doubt on the bonds. Meanwhile, the Raleigh County Commission is making its position clear on Social Security. It unanimously passed a resolution yesterday that calls on Congress to reject plans to privatize the system. Commission President John Aliff says the president's plan jeopardizes Social Security's long-term solvency, which could hurt more than 400,000 West Virginians who rely on Social Security for their essential income. Aliff says the best they could do as commissioners to have a voice in the issue was to send their concerns to Congress via resolution. West Virginia wildlife officials would like to take some time to review a legislative effort to allow Sunday hunting. The Senate on Monday rejected an amendment by Fayette County Senator Shirley Love. Division of Natural Resources Director Frank Gisero says the agency needs more time to research how an extra day of hunting would impact wildlife management areas. In 2002, voters in three dozen counties rejected Sunday hunting on private land. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy and warm, around 70. Then tonight, a chance of showers late in the night, increasing cloudiness, low 53. Thursday, showers, cooler. Thunderstorms possible by afternoon, high near 65. Showers, possible thunderstorms and cooler on Thursday night, with a low near 46. And then Friday, mostly cloudy with showers until around 4 in the afternoon, cooler, with a high only near 56. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
He told the press he first dreamed of a job in the White House on December 25th, 1950. It was the day he was born. His story next on Biography for Radio.
Thousands and thousands of Americans have discovered the power of Judy Singer's MetaSystem for natural weight loss. Judy Singer's MetaSystem is the only natural weight loss system that's been around for over 20 years, that customizes their products for every customer to meet their needs, that provides personalized phone consultation from our trained counselors 7 days per week. Call the MetaSystem now at 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY, and check out the all-new website, themetasystem.com.
The household he grew up in was not a political one. The family lived a quiet life in Colorado, where his father was a geologist. But books gave the young boy a taste for history, and later, a near obsession with politics. It's said he turned Republican at age 9, when he backed Richard Nixon over John Kennedy. By 19, he had moved to Washington as executive director of the College Republicans. His new career then took him to Texas as a political advisor. Many say he was the key figure behind the conversion of Texas from a Democrat stronghold to a Republican one. One of those he helped to power in 1995 was Texas Governor George W. Bush, though in theory a backroom boy in Bush's later campaigns for president, the strategist intrigued the public. He was aggressive, shrewd, and funny, and he liked to win. If negative campaigning was needed, he went for it. If a focus on strength and morals would get the votes, that message was delivered. He's been described as the brains behind Bush, a crafty tactician, a political strategist, and White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Karl Rove. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, so that's where that is. I don't know if it made it. I don't know what happened to it today. But whatever happened to it, it's just another attempt by them to screw you. And look, I guess I'm being kind of hard. But if you won't speak up, and of course, the article I read today, one delegate did say that she'd had about 200 phone calls to her office against taking away our constitutional rights, and two in favor of it. Anybody want to guess who the two people calling her in favor of the bill were? Well, of course they were insurance agents. Godfrey Daniel. Mother of Pearl. Meanwhile, back in the jungle, remember at the beginning of the session we talked about the bill that had been introduced that would make a matter of law the fact that a woman has the right to do the most natural thing on earth, that is, breastfeed her baby? Remember that? And I predicted that somewhere along the way, the West Virginians for Life, or the West Virginians for Decency and Anti-Booby Vision, would come out and say, oh, we can't have this, it's not according to God's law, or something stupid like that. Remember? Sure. Now, to me, it said that this bill should not have spent 10 seconds in committee in either house. Well, we got a bill here that would allow women to do what God made them able to do and breastfeed their babies and thereby have healthier babies and create a culture of life, okay? All say aye. The first one that says nay, I'm going to hit you on the head with my gavel. Guess what? Tomorrow, is the last day that House Bill 2450 can be taken up. House Bill 2450 is the Child's Right to Nurse Act. Now, we've created an entirely new class of individuals, the unborn, and given them the rights of a full-grown human being. And we can't get the Child's Right to Nurse Act out of committee? Jumping Jehoshaphat! I said the reinsurance thing would make your eyeballs roll back in your head. This one does too, for a different reason. What are these people thinking? Oh, they're wrangling over table games. And they can't decide whether or not they want to screw you on third-party bad faith. And they don't have time to just make sure that a little bitty baby, in its first days and weeks of life, has a chance to nurse at its mother's breast without sending the baby and the mother off to the potty to do that dirty deed. Well, Bob, I don't want to see no baby at no breast. Puff! Welcome to the 21st century. Get used to it. Of course, then again, what, the 1st century? The 13th century B.C.? The 113th century B.C.? Everybody saw that all the time, and nobody thought anything of it until, oh, I don't know, maybe some religion came along and decided that women was dirty. You know, it was all Eve's fault. She took that apple from that snake and screwed the pooch, and it's been all downhill ever since. Damn. What do you say about a legislature that can't get a breastfeeding bill out of a committee in about the time it takes me to eat my Rice Krispies in the morning? Damn. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow from 1 to 2 in the Senate Finance Committee room. The Senate Health Committee has the bill. If the Senate Health Committee passes the bill, it'll be on third reading and up for a vote for the entire Senate on Saturday. I despise the way we do business at the last minute. Because you know what? Last-minute legislating makes for bad, bad law. Screw-ups. And you give right-wing freaks the opportunity to take the floor for the last 11 minutes and things like that and make sure that, you know, good things can't happen. Again, if you're down that way, men or women, either one, decent people who care about babies, you know, pro-lifers. Take your lunch hour late, whatever. 1 to 2 in the Senate Finance Committee room. 451 M. M as in mammary gland. Step up to the plate for the little babies. Step up to the plate for the little babies who are so much better off feeding in the way that nature intended as opposed to enriching mead or Johnson Wax or whoever makes that goopy garbage that we pump into babies. Deuce, this is easy. There's no politics involved with this. This is just common sense. This is just helping lead your little, apparently intellectually challenged legislators to do the right damn thing for a change. Or up in committee. you got to admire them, don't you? Jack's with us on the phone. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Yeah, Bob, it's Jack. You know, I call you. You know what I'm going to talk about, but at the same time, I'll tell you something else, too.
Okay.
When Bush speaks, it's very embarrassing for America.
Yes, it is.
He don't know what he's going to say. He's just, here I am. I'm going to tell you, when I call you, you'll take my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But when I listen to that president, he absolutely runs America down.
No, he embarrasses us.
Sir, that's all I want to say, sir. I'd like to let you know that I don't know how in the hell he got elected for the job he's in. He's as ignorant as I am.
No.
Well,
you're selling yourself short, Jack.
Well, I'm not going to sell myself short. I'll pick up aluminum cans because, and I'll probably buy a four-wheeler and get to the gas pumps or go to grocery shopping because I can't afford the gas they're selling.
I know what you mean, Jack. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. Take care.
Goodbye.
Okay, well, that was a little diversion from what we were talking about, but true enough in its own right. I'm going to hammer this just a little bit nearer to home. What do you think about a state that can't simply say women have the right to feed their children without being hassled by some rent-a-cop sending them to the bathroom? If that was my precious little infant, and I've had precious little infants at that age, and some rent-a-cop said that my newborn had to go feed in a nasty place like a restroom. Oh Lord, I'd get mad. So, and like I said, the hearing's from 1 to 2. I don't have it here. I wish I knew who was sitting on the Senate Health Committee. Call them. Wear them out. Tell them anybody that doesn't have the common sense to pass this bill doesn't have the common sense to sit in the legislature, and you'll damn well remember it. Can you do that? I mean, a lot of us have that the Freedom Plan thing where... we can make long-distance calls, and it's just part of the bill. You don't even have a long-distance charge. Do it, for God's sakes. It's the right thing to do. Cherie is with us. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm amazed.
So, they're wanting to tell us what to do with our breasts now.
Well, just a few things. No, this is a good bill. There are some people out there that want to tell you that it's perfectly normal and natural to breastfeed a child, no big deal.
Right.
And this law is struggling to get out of committee.
Well, I mean, I think it all comes down to good taste. You don't sit in a room full of people and just, flip the blouse off and go to work.
Do you see a lot of that?
No.
I mean,
I have seen women discreetly.
Yeah, if you notice it. If you notice it, what you're probably noticing is the baby being cradled and the blanket over the baby and maybe the shirt exposed.
Yes.
And that lets you know that the baby's breastfeeding.
I haven't seen any women stripping in public and nursing their children.
No.
But so next they're going to go to Vicky's Secret and, lock it down and not let anybody see in it because there's bras in the window. I mean, when do we get our burkas?
The burqa bill hearing is from 2 to 3 in the Senate Health Committee. Oh my
and
God!
And so, three steps behind your husband and
foot binding.
Only the eyes exposed, and we're not allowed to look up.
Foot binding. Right.
Well, there are other things that can be bound.
And family radio. Okay, just as long.
Didn't say anything.
Okay, that's fine.
But I find it really, really offensive because these men and women who support this bill, I'm sure that they were babies once. So is it breast envy because maybe their mom fed them Pablum?
Yeah, bottle babies.
Yeah. That's not a good thing.
No, I gotta wonder where Senator Weeks' mind it is on this. I mean, he's a religious freak, so it's gonna dirty breasts. Yeah.
If you're that fascinated with them, just go buy a set.
They make them out of silicone now.
Yeah, they do.
You juggle them. You can play with them.
Look at them, whatever.
It's better than a slinky.
But it's sad that it comes down to something like this. I think they want us to look at the asinine and little things rather than looking at the big picture.
Oh, I agree. And this is a little thing.
We're paid for this.
Yeah, but this ought not even be an issue. The only reason this was brought up was because a woman was told by a rent-a-cop, I think at the Civic Center, take you and your baby and your nasty breast and go feed it in the bathroom.
did this person actually say nasty breath?
No, I'm stretching it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But no, you and your breast and your baby, you need to go feed in the bathroom.
Well, you know, when I was in college, women would come into the powder room. And, of course, there was like a small little suite outside. And they would come in with their babies.
Right.
It's not like that everybody sat around and just yanked off their shirts and did things like that.
Breastfeeding palooza.
So one person got this started, and these people are being paid to sit around and worry if somebody is exposing their breast in public.
Well, no, they're not trying to criminalize it. I mean, this bill is doing the right thing. It's just saying, you know, a woman has a right to breastfeed her child.
But why should there be something to say that you have the right to do that?
I understand your point.
I think that's pretty much taken for granted.
Well, no, how bass-ackward are we that we have to worry? But we do have to worry about it, Sheree.
That we have to be given permission to do something that...
Yeah, because remember, the right-wing, dirty-body, religious freak crowd has a throttle hold on this state.
Man, they must be freaking out about Africa, aren't they?
Oh, you don't want to know what happens when the new National Geographic comes out in the right-wing religious freak crowd.
Do we have to go to the censored section to pick it up?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, but my 9-year-old son, he loves National Geographic.
But not the dirty parts.
Oh, no, he likes boobies.
Stop it. You're going to get me in trouble.
Sorry.
Hey, we got to roll, Sheree.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
Good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
I love ending things on a laugh. Hey, Mel, you're head on. Mel.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I guess I'm okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get yourself in trouble. I was hoping you cut off. I was going to tell you on this third-party thing, we got a letter from Sally Sussman. I've been going for about a week, and when we got back, we got a letter. She said that it looked like the thing was going to pass. They just hoped that they could weaken it. But it looks like there's been an amendment made to it, but it just amends it and says instead of the commissioner appointing the advocate, that the governor will.
Well, and, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, me too. And... then it says, I don't know what the fine was. Seemed like, what was it, $10,000 or something, the maximum?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they raised it to $250,000 and it goes to the state.
But that's only if they show a pattern and practice of it.
Well, it's not only that. It's if the insurance commissioner decides to that they're guilty. And like they said, they've never found or punished the insurance company in the history of the insurance commissioner, it's my understanding.
Yeah, but boy, I tell you what, I sure do trust an insurance commissioner a lot more than I do six West Virginians tried and true sitting in that jury box.
Yeah.
Don't you, Mel?
Yeah. You know, I reckon they're going by what the insurance lawyer said down there, that if you're stupid enough that you can't get off a jury, you shouldn't be sitting on it, you know?
I love the respect they show us.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm taking this thing serious as a heart attack, and then I'd like to ask you for the opportunity, in case some of these people are listening or some of their relatives are listening, that we make sure and let everybody know, and I have intentions in doing it in the paper if I have to pay for it and on all these shows here on your all station. And I'd like to do that on your show and let the people of this area know how that these so-called representatives are representing us.
Absolutely.
I mentioned the other night Love and Weeks voted for it. Well, I miss Bailey, and I wrote a letter to the Mullins advocate about him, and I wrote one to the Fed Tribune about Shirley Love and thanked them. And like I said, I have every intention. This thing on the computer has, and I don't understand this completely, I'll be the first to admit it, but it says, it looks like to me the thing has already cleared the Judiciary Committee in the House.
Right.
It's got on second reading special calendar, that's the status, and it's got the date of April the 7th, 05.
Well, it's got to come out, my understanding is it has, there's a... Because the bills are not identical between the Senate and the House,
right?
Doesn't it have to go to a conference committee?
I don't know. I'd be lying to you, so I can't comment.
Whatever happens will happen tomorrow.
Well, that's what it looks like.
And it'll have to happen early in order for them to get their precious little table games bill out.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I had to see one or the other one, I'd rather see the table games and the people get screwed out of their due process.
Well, me too.
You know, I reckon I got a little bit of mixed emotions on the table games, but this thing here is, like I said, is absolutely raping the people of West Virginia, their due process, and it looks like it's not on just car insurance, it's on all insurance.
It is a complete gutting of the Unfair Trade Practices Act in regard to third-party insurers.
Yep. Well, you know what I said, they need to put something in there, at least if you're unfortunate enough to have to put your fate in the hands of the commissioner, that the person would get, you know, if they found out that there was bad faith on the insurance part, that the person would get reimbursed or made whole before the state would fine them, you know, anything.
Yeah, that only makes sense to me, Mel, because we're talking about situations where West Virginians are literally driven to economic destruction, where West Virginians are driven into bankruptcy, not that it'll help them anymore, but, utterly financially destroyed because an insurance company is too greedy to be honest.
Well, you know what, everybody, I think this is the right number. I'd hate to give the wrong one out, but everybody ought to bombard them again tomorrow at 1-877-565-3447. And let them know that, you know, I called the delegates here tonight and told them that, you know, I have every intention of making it public to the best of my ability all the way through the next election and everything else. If they screw us on this deal, I feel like it's really it's gouging.
Well, it is, and it's a smack, it's a slap in the face to anybody who believes in constitutional government, Mel.
Well, you know, I reckon they just as well wrap up the court to judiciary system because they pretty well made a joke out of it anyway. You know, talking about delay and getting off on that, but you know, it's pretty well shot anyway. And I think I've said this before, Paul Harvey said, when it gets sick enough, it needs to throw up. My Lord, this country's way overdue to regurgitate right now and get rid of some of the trash and get the ethics going again. And my Lord, you know, I don't know where we're headed. Sounds like that old Merle Haggard song.
I know, Mel, I know. Hey, I appreciate you calling in.
I appreciate it, Paul.
Thanks so much,
Mel.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye now. And I hope you can keep us updated. Because we'll know something by tomorrow night. Listen, the show tonight was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction.